Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There is no better group of plants for flower power than forms of the shrubby potentilla.
Hello and welcome to This Week in the Garden. I'm Peter Seabrook, here to answer some of your gardening queries. Later on we go behind the scenes, where gardeners never go, to talk about plant breeding. My guest this week, from Curley & Co, is Tim Curley. Our thanks to Sutton Seeds, sponsors of this week's podcast. Well, it's become something of a tradition on this podcast to mention the weather, and this week that icy blast from the north really took my breath away, and it got down to pretty well freezing, 0 centigrade in my polytunnel even. Boy, I hate that, and I just have my fingers crossed that we miss the hail that's been falling in Birmingham, I believe. If that cuts through leaves, it absolutely slaughters our show plants. This is a time of year when I sow my runner beans, or start sowing, because I make one sowing now, out in the soil where I want them to grow, and another one in 4 weeks' time, so there's a succession. The cloches which came off, plastic cloches which came off the sweet peas, will go over the runner beans, just to give that bit of frost protection if we do have a cold night. It's a good time too to be sowing all of the annual seeds, things like cornflower and calendula, clarkia, larkspur, all lovely garden plants, very easy, you just need a packet of seed. And if you haven't grown these things before, sow them in rows and add a little bit of radish. It's what we call an indicator crop. The radish germinates very quickly and shows you where the other flowers will follow. Plants like larkspur can be quite slow, may take 3 weeks or so before you see them coming up. And of course the radish have been pulled and eaten by the time the flowers need all the space. I like to sow zinnias too. Zinnias are great cut flowers, and in the Fluoroselect European campaign they've got zinnia as the plant of the year. They come in all kinds of heights, sizes, flower shapes and colours. And there's very good kinds for bedding too. So just sow a few seeds, nice little bit of friable soil, and they'll be up pretty quickly. It's time too to put tomatoes into cold greenhouses. Can't go outside yet, it's much too cold. And if you're buying tomato plants, if I could just give you two words of warning, have a look at the seed leaves. That's the first two leaves just above the compost. If they're yellow, and even worse, if the leaves above them, the natural leaves, are purplish, it's a good indication that they've had a really cold check. And with that frost last week, I wouldn't be surprised if some plants at retail establishments that have got those purple leaves, give those a miss. Once a tomato has had a really good cold check, then I'm afraid it'll take a long time to recover, and you're much better to wait until you can find some really nice, young, bright green leaf plants. Now, what's on? Well, I'm getting all kinds of news from the BBC Gardeners World Live show, which will be held in June at the NEC in Birmingham. It's a rather special show because Gardeners World, the TV programme, is celebrating 50 years. It's its golden anniversary. And I think that they've got flowers and plants that were named after quite a number of the presenters over the years. I mean, Percy Thrower, I don't know whether they're showing his rose or his sweet pea. And of course Alan Titchmarsh, you know, he has a lupin and a sweet pea. So there'll be namesake plants in a whole series of gardens, and presenters from over the years will be giving talks and meeting the public through that show. Closer to home, on the 28th and 29th, Toby Buckland's got his garden festival at Powderham Castle. And on the 29th to the 30th of April, it's the Harlow Carr Spring Plant Festival. So there are things right up in Yorkshire and down in the southwest which will make a really nice day out. Today I'm very pleased to introduce to you a young man that has my admiration. He really has a commitment to the horticultural business, and his name is Tim Curley. Tim, how are things in Cambridgeshire today?
They're very bright and sunny. It's a glorious day, and everything's moving very fast in the greenhouse, almost too fast. I think we're about 2 or 3 weeks ahead of where we expect to be at this stage.
Now, I wonder if we could start out by explaining to listeners how the Curley family business in plant breeding started. I mean, your dad was into breeding, wasn't he?
He trained as a plant breeder when he was in college, and he actually had a spell in Holland training with a very large company over there. But actually, as his career developed, plant breeding became more of a hobby, and he ended up as commercial director of Unwin Seeds. But as I said, he was still breeding as a hobby. And as part of that, he also was leading the Unwin's sweet pea breeding trials. And one day, I think Mum probably got a bit fed up with the fact that she never saw her husband. He was either doing his day job as a commercial director, or he was in the Unwin sweet pea trials, or he was in his own greenhouse playing around breeding. So one day, Mum went down to the greenhouse and said to Dad, "Look, you're always doing this breeding malarkey. Can you show me what this is all about?" And this was in 1995, just after Safinia petunia had hit the market. It was an outstanding success. So Dad said, "I'll tell you what, I've had an idea. We can take this Safinia petunia and put a double flower on it. I've got the plants here. Why don't you do the cross? I'll show you how it works, and then we'll see what happens." 1996, out of 100 seedlings that she grew, one plant was what turned out to be Priscilla. Now, Priscilla was the world's first double-trailing petunia and also has a marvellous attribute of also being scented. This year is actually the 21st year Priscilla has been sold on the market and is still our top-selling variety.
And still a leader internationally, isn't it? If we're going to judge a double petunia, we tend to judge it against Priscilla.
It is the benchmark. It is the benchmark, absolutely. Dad took that to Unwin's and said, "I've got this new plant. I think we should try selling it in the catalogue." And that first year, they sold 105,000 plants, he tells me. And the price for them was nearly £10 for 6 plug plants. So you can imagine the fellow directors starting rubbing their hands with glee.
You're talking £1 million from one chance seedling in somebody's back garden.
That's right. Yeah. It proves that actually anybody can have a go at plant breeding and be incredibly successful. The directors were delighted with this result. I started demanding more colours. Mum and Dad, they were running out of time. They were selecting petunias, seedling petunias, in their hobby greenhouse in the garden, under lights in the middle of the night. And in the end, Mum turned to Dad and said, "David, there's not enough time in the day anymore. Something's got to go." And it was at that point that Dad made the very brave decision to leave Unwin's, give up his job as director, and go full-time into breeding.
Yeah, breeding's a real gamble, isn't it? You know, just
it is. Now, he had three boys who were close to or coming towards the age of university and all the fees associated with that.
Yeah.
That is how Curley & Co. was formed.
But then what's your background? Obviously, you know, as a child you saw all this going on. So
yep.
How were you trained? Did you follow your dad's practice?
Well, my first training in horticulture actually came working on the allotment with Dad. Every Saturday morning, myself and my three brothers all jumped in the car with Dad. We went down to the allotment and worked there.
Oh, right.
But I didn't actually really have any ideas of going into horticulture until I just started helping out in the family business, as you do. And I think really to start with, what really got me excited about this industry was the people we were working with. Such a friendly bunch of people. And I also started to get the bug for breeding just by, you know, you start to do some crosses. And the following year, you grow out the ceiling and start to see new things pop out. And eventually that bug does get hold of you.
You never lose that, Tim, do you? Hey,
you never lose that.
No.
I tell you, my father's, well, he's officially actually past retiring age and he's still telling me about projects he's going to start when he retires. So,
But you did have formal horticultural training, didn't you?
Yeah. I did then have formal horticultural training. I went to Reading University, and I did a course in horticulture, which was very general, but did give me a good background understanding of plant science and how plants tick. But then to sort of really hone in on the plant breeding techniques, I went to Holland for 6 months, and I worked for Syngenta.
There's a big name now in plant breeding, yeah.
Syngenta is a very big name, very successful, very good at what they do. And they were very kind. They opened up their breeding department to me, showed me everything, and I learned a lot of useful techniques from just watching and talking to the breeders there.
That was a wonderful experience, because it's difficult to get into the Syngenta breeding, even us, those of us as horticultural journalists, you know, they're very
Absolutely.
Sniffy.
Yeah. After I'd been to Syngenta, I had to go back and do my final year at university. And then I was awarded a scholarship to spend 1 year in the States. And that was a joint scholarship between the David Colgrave Foundation in the UK and Ed Markham in the USA. And actually, the idea of the scholarship, the technical phrase for it, I think, is to enhance your cultural experience while you're out there, which is actually a very good idea, because when you go on these traineeships, often you're just about given enough to stay alive, but not enough to enjoy the country.
But that was a wonderful experience, wasn't it, seeing the American breeding and mass production?
Absolutely, yeah. I actually focused more on the production over in America. I had 6 months on the Olympic Peninsula near Seattle, which is a beautiful area of the country. And there's lots of very good growers, but smaller growers in that area. And then I moved down to Michigan, and I had 6 months or 5 months working for a mass producer, producing for Home Depot, which is their equivalent of Homebase or B&Q. And at that time, they were producing 5 million geraniums a year. And that was part of their production.
5 million, yeah. One nursery, yeah. Amazing.
Absolutely.
Well, can we bring you right up to date? You said that you were in a greenhouse with this interview. Can you just describe what surrounds you?
Certainly. On one side of me, I have the petunia pot trial. So all of our new genetics, we test them extensively before they're released. And what we have to do is make sure that our petunias are easy to grow for our commercial grower, because it's no good having a fantastic flower if the thing grows 2 feet long in a pot, because a commercial grower doesn't have the space to do that. So we test everything in a small pot, in a 10-centimeter pot, as most people would buy in a garden centre, and just check that it works okay in those sort of situations.
And have you got anything exciting this year? Is there something there which lights your father's
eyes? There are a few things catching my eye, but I'd be giving the game away to tell you what right now. You have to come and see us to find that out. And on the other side of me, I have the calendula breeding trial. And the calendula is a new introduction for us. We had the Power Daisy launched at Chelsea last year. And this Power Daisy is a lovely golden yellow. But now we're working hard to try and bring other colours into the Power Daisy series with the same attributes. So I'm looking across a sea of oranges and yellows and whites, bicolours, tricolours.
How long then before we see some partners to Sunny?
We're hoping it should be within the next year, if not 2 years.
But I mean, that's very much your baby, isn't it?
That is, yes. I actually was inspired to start this program when I was in Holland. I was in the garden of a seedsman over in Holland for an afternoon, and he got this crazy looking plant in a hanging basket that I didn't recognize, which was a calendula species that was new to me. Just something about it made me think that perhaps we can do something with calendula by crossing in this new species and turn sort of what is a sort of the humble pot marigold into something a bit more of a superstar. So I came back very excited with my idea and told Dad when I got back to England. He did slightly steal my thunder by saying, well, yes, I had the same idea. The plants are already in the greenhouse waiting for you to start crossing.
Father,
so I wasn't sure whether to be pleased that he'd had the same good idea or disappointed that he'd taken my idea. But
fathers can be really frustrating, can't they? Yeah.
They certainly can, yes. I wasn't sure if his great minds are like thinking alike or fools, but there we go.
Yeah.
Time will tell.
But Power Daisy is a fantastic thing, isn't it? Repeat flowers, sterile, mildew resistant. You know, you've bred a lot of characters into that, haven't you?
We have actually managed to breed in more characters than we even originally envisaged. It was just a case of going through hundreds and thousands and thousands of seedlings over the last, it's getting up to 12 years now, and suddenly finding new characteristics popping up that we need to incorporate. For example, sterility. Nobody knew about that sterility was possible. You know, no seed set was possible in calendula. And of course, just walking through a field of calendula, suddenly you found one with no seeds.
And if you have got that sterility, the plant just keeps flowering, doesn't it?
Absolutely, the plant just keeps flowering. It also means that you don't get calendulas taking over your garden.
Tim, just finally, what can we look forward to at Chelsea? You've got two or three novelties there for us, I think.
We have. They're actually behind me right now as I speak. We have, in our Tumbalina series, we have a new sky blue double being introduced called Maria, which is a lovely sort of lilac-y sky colour. We also have Buzz Purple, which is probably a Marmite plant. Love it or hate it. It has a deep purple flower with a deep green rim around the edge. And we have Ink Splash, which, as the name suggests, is a lovely rich blue flower and it has a white splash through the middle of it.
Well, we look forward to seeing both you and those novelties at Chelsea, Tim. Thank you very much for your time today, and get back on that hose, you know.
We need to soon, yes. Thank you.
If you're interested to see Tim in his working environment with some of those latest power daisies, then have a look at sungardening.co.uk, where you'll see a picture of him. We've also got pictures of school children growing mint in teapots ready for the Chelsea Flower Show. Now, when it comes to readers' letters and questions, there's an interesting one here that comes from Mrs. Laughlin. She comes from Coatbridge. I've a lovely spring flower in one of my tubs. I don't have a garden. The plants were given to me a few years ago by a friend who has now died. He couldn't tell me the name of the plant. It has green spotted white leaves, and the flowers are pink and lilac, both colours on the one plant. When he first gave me the plants, they filled the tub, but although they come up every year, there are less plants every year. What information could you give me? Well, I think without a picture, this sounds very much to me like what we commonly call the lungwort, pulmonaria. And it got that common name because of the white spots on the leaves. And the interesting thing is that the flowers change colour as they age. So they go from pink to mauve as they get older. Now, I would think that your plant in the pot just needs a bit of freshening up. I would think the compost is getting a bit stale. It's not a perfect time to actually split it while it's in flower. So I would just take some of the old compost off the top carefully and put a bit of fresh in and give the plant a little bit of food. I think it's rather nice that we have these plants which remind us of people. My garden's full of them. It's a great thing, I think, to acknowledge birthdays and special events by planting a tree or giving a plant. And if you have a very special plant, they always say you should share it, because if yours happens to die, you can then go back to the person that you shared it with and you can get some replacements. The pulmonaria can be split up, but I wait until after it was flowered. Thanks again to our sponsors this week, Sutton's Seeds of Torquay. And thanks to you for listening. We'll be back next Thursday.